Today is August 2nd, 2018, and this is episode number 473 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief of the Mac Observer. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit MacObserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note. Bang, 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 bang.
Pew, pew, pew.
Over at Facebook. So, yeah, facebook.com/group/context machine. We've got a pretty lively community over there. We'd love to have you join us.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Let us know what you think.
Your title today, it really threw me.
Yeah, I know. I forgot to think of one, so I decided to go for the surprising one.
I was thinking, after the way that all played out, you could have gone with Armory Master.
Armory Master would have been good, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That would have been good.
Yep, senior Foley artist.
Sure. We could go with that, too. Mm-hmm. Just kind of tired today. You can probably hear my voice.
Senior Nap Master.
Oh, yeah, but if I was a senior Nap Master, I wouldn't be tired.
Oh, Nap Master Apprentice.
Sure. Failed Nap Master.
Yeah.
Naps anyway.
Are nice.
Naps are nice. I like naps. Yeah. Naps are good. Naps are good. Do you know what else is good?
We have a sponsor.
We do have a sponsor, and that's not good. That's great.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go with that. That's great. It's LinkedIn Jobs, just in case you were wondering.
That's fantastic. Helping us keep the lights on. We'd like you to show them some love too.
That's right.
Indeed. Indeed. Let's see here. This, what's this icon business? You've been prattling on about this all morning.
Oh, that was awesome. Yes. So in my prattling,
prattle is a great word, man.
All right.
It's a great verb.
All right. Let me fire up my prattle engine here.
Okay.
So, Guillermo Rambo over at 9to5Mac.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, I just like to call him Rambo because I love that. Anyhow, he has a well-earned reputation for finding all kinds of interesting things tucked away in Apple's beta code.
Yes.
So he dug through the developer beta 5 release of iOS 12 for the iPhone and iPad. And what he found tucked away in there were references to a new iPad. And it even included icons for the various iPad models. So there's
nice.
Yeah. So there's one that resembles what we currently have, where you have the home button on the front and the, you know, just what we're used to seeing for the iPad lineup right now. But right. There's another one where the icon has a much thinner bezel all the way around.
Oh,
and no home button.
As God intended.
Exactly, just as the Lords of Cobol intended. And digging through more code, he even found the references for Face ID support on a new iPad model.
Huh.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking is that if this stuff is in the code for iOS 12, then Apple is probably pretty far along on the development of whatever the next iPad Pro is going to be, because...
Well, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going iPad Pro because of Face ID. I figure it'll show up there first because that's Apple's MO. They trickle the features down. And I'm thinking that we may be seeing these new models October, November.
Probably September, when iPhones are updated.
And, well, the only reason that I am leaning out of September a little bit is because Apple likes to focus on the iPhone for their iPhone launch. So they're going to do two different events.
But they have done iPhone and iPad at the same event in the past.
Yeah, that's true. But with this, these reports and leaked photos of three iPhone sizes, that might be kind of tight, doing three iPhones plus new iPads.
It doesn't mean they won't. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. And it could even be a and the rest moment. Like, you know, we've got all these new iPhones, and by the way, there's iPads too. That could happen.
That could happen. I would like to think that with as significant a change to the iPad lineup, you know, taking away the home button on presumably just the Pro models, it would get more than the Professor and Marianne treatment.
Yeah, maybe. And I certainly hope that happens. I want my iPad to work like my iPhone 10. I love the iPhone 10. I love the way it works. I love the lack of the home button. I love the gestures. I want that in my iPad. I want the two of them to work the same.
Oh, so do I. I am so tired of having to stop and think about what device I'm on and what gestures work. It's just stupid frustrating.
Yeah, and I wasn't even going the complaining route. I want those features to come to iPad.
Yeah, and honestly, those gestures, there's no reason why they couldn't be on the iPad today. Because they would still work. You just wouldn't.
Yeah, I agree. We talked about that before. It's hard to understand why Apple doesn't just make those swipe up from the bottom gestures also work. Maybe it's because of I don't know. That doesn't make any sense, actually.
It doesn't. And it makes me feel like I have some sort of disorder when I pick up an iPhone other than my iPhone 10 and I try and do the things that I do all the time. And all of a sudden I'm at a loss. You know, how do I get to that control panel thing? And how do I get to the widgets?
Yeah, fair enough. So looking at these icons, it's what we're hoping for. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine you mentioned Apple's probably pretty far along. I would edit that. Apple's making them now. If Apple's going to ship them in even October, Apple's manufacturing them now.
Yep. Okay. I will go with that. Yep. If they're shipping that soon, they have to be in production today.
Yeah, it may possibly be an early stage of production, but they're in production. And you know, and Apple started making the iPhones that it'll ship in September. Apple started making those probably in June. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, that's the kind of lead time Apple has to do to meet the kind of demand that the company hits right out the gate. Although, yeah. haven't we seen some stories saying that one of these devices would ship later than the others?
Yes. So the report that goes along with that is that the 5.8 inch and the 6.5 inch iPhones, which will be like the next generation of the iPhone 10, screens, notch, all of that, that those are shipping first. Then the
mid-size, so those are shipping first.
Yes, and then the
unlike mid-size, last year when they shipped second,
right. Yes. Huh. So then this midsize iPhone, which would be 6.1 inches, will have an LCD screen. And that's the one that's shipping in October as opposed to September.
Yeah. And then last year, of course, the iPhone 10 shipped in what was it, November or December? It was late.
Maybe November. It was before December, I think.
If only there was some kind of way to connect to a Nest
iPhone 10
system data.
November 6th.
Okay.
So Yeah, that was definitely later when that one started showing up.
Right. All right. Well, that's an interesting thing. And that was because Apple had to. Right. I mean, Apple would have shipped it earlier if they could have. That wasn't like a planned. Right. I mean, they knew it was going to happen, but it wasn't a strategic choice. It was a logistical choice.
Right.
And so
supposedly the reason for the 6.1 inch LCD iPhone shipping a month later is because Apple's been having issues with light leakage on the display.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
And of course, Apple has confirmed none of this.
Right. Big surprise.
Big surprise. Nor will they. They'll just tell us when things are happening and everyone will be excited and get in a virtual line to buy their phones.
Right.
By virtual line, I mean set an alarm so they get up at the appropriate time. Which is like 1 a.m. for me. It's crazy.
Yeah, our sponsor is LinkedIn, LinkedIn Jobs.
Our sponsor is LinkedIn Jobs. And so here's the deal. If you need to find a new employee and you want to find the right employee or have a higher likelihood of finding the right employee just right out the chute, you don't want to go to all the random job posting boards and put your job there. You want to go where you have a much higher likelihood of finding exactly who you're looking for. Turns out that's LinkedIn. And that's because LinkedIn already has 70% of the U.S. workforce signed up. And there are a much higher percentage of people there that have the right interest and the right skills for the types of jobs you'll be posting. And it's simply by the nature of who it is that signs up to be part of LinkedIn. So you put your job on LinkedIn Jobs, and then you end up hopefully finding who you're looking for. And LinkedIn says that businesses rate the LinkedIn Jobs hiring as 40% higher than the other job boards that are out there. So they're having much more success with the jobs that they're posting and the people that they're hiring. And that's great because hiring a new employee can be a tedious process. Getting them up and running, I mean, it costs money. And you don't want to have to do all that, spend all that time and money, and then have to start over. So LinkedIn Jobs, that's the way to go. Here's what
you— For sure, right?
Yeah. Now, here's what all of our listeners can do, that the people that are out there looking to find a new employee. Hurry to LinkedIn.com/ACM and get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/ACM to get $50 off your first job post. LinkedIn.com/ACM and terms and conditions apply. So, wow. Thank you, LinkedIn Jobs, for being our sponsor.
Yeah, that's a good deal for people who people are looking to hire.
Absolutely.
Okay. Nasty time. Cranky time. That's probably.
Yeah. Just to be clear, we're doing cranky time, not nasty time.
Sorry. That's the other show too.
Yeah. Totally different demographic. Totally or so I different. Assume.
Okay, so Apple did that thing they do every quarter.
Yeah, their happy dance, the make it rain money dance.
Yeah, or the exactly.
Or the earnings report.
Yeah. The earnings report. And there was a thing in the earnings report about Mac sales. And Mac sales were way down year over year. Money-wise, they weren't way down. They were just down. They were down $300 million.
Okay.
$5.3 billion Mac revenues in the June quarter 2018 versus $5.6 billion in revenues in the June quarter of 2017.
Okay. So now the total number of Macs sold in that quarter 2017 was over 4 million. Is that right?
In 2017, it was 4.3 million.
4.3 million. And in 2018, same quarter, 3.7 million. Do I have that right?
3.7 million, down 600,000 units.
Okay. So that seems like a pretty significant drop year over year.
It is it's a huge drop. I can't remember the last time Apple did 3.7 million max in a quarter. It's been a long time. And Apple has topped 5 million units in a Mac in a quarter and routinely is over 4. And you know, it's that joke we've been making for years now. That one weird trick that Apple's figured out, or so we thought,
mm-hmm.
to goose Mac sales, which is to release some new frickin' Macs.
Yeah, the no new Macs thing, I'm finding this to be really weird, especially considering Apple has all the numbers. They know what they're selling.
Yeah. Yeah, and we started making that joke when Apple finally like updated the MacBook Pro like 2 years ago.
Right. That would be like with the Touch Bar.
Yeah.
MacBook Pro in 2016.
It might have even been the model before. No, you're right. Yeah, it was the 2016. Yeah, exactly. That's when we started making that joke. Like, wow, Apple found one weird trick to goose Mac sales, release new Macs. Right. It's a crazy idea.
And then they updated it. In 2017.
9 months later, and we were all excited.
And then they did another update just recently.
But it was more than a year later. And there were no new Macs in that year.
Yeah, so...
Well, that's not true. iMac Pro shipped.
iMac Pro shipped announced, at the end of 2017.
But it shipped at the end of 20... Yeah, exactly. So there was one new Mac shipped in like a full freaking calendar year. And, you know, and Mac sales are down. I mean, come on, man. I mean, like, it's that thing. And I got to give John, my buddy John Keat, credit. And I really, really hate doing that, John, because because you just, you know, you
it's going to go to his head.
He just takes way too much pleasure in it. But it's he's the one who identified this, and he's right. The freak on here that Apple's doing less and less with more and more like Apple. I mean, what does it take to hire more people to make more Macs? What does it take? Like, is it a job? LinkedIn jobs.
Apple, listen to our ads.
Yeah. We'll save you $50. Yeah. Save you $50. Go place an ad. Hire some people. Hire some people, make some more Macs, update the Mac Mini or kill it. Update the get that Mac Pro made. Update the iMac Pro. Update that MacBook Air. Update the MacBook. Update these things. Do it once a year. Like do that thing and then like every year do it again. Make some new Macs. How is this a mystery? Why is it that Apple could make new Macs and new iPhones when they didn't have any money or they had a lot less money?
Mm-hmm.
And they can't do it when they have all of the money.
All right. So I just came up with an idea, and I'm not even going to go so far as to say it's a hypothesis. It's just an idea. What if the reason we're not seeing the new Macs come out is because Apple has been tossing us stopgap computers while behind the scenes they're doing a redesign to the entire Mac line that is so radical that it's taking a lot more time to make this happen, which could be the whole new custom Apple processor instead of Intel thing.
Like for the last 5 years?
That's why I'm calling it just an idea.
I mean, so...
You would think... that with all the resources that Apple has and as much money as they toss into their R&D budget, which is, I mean, it's crazy how much money they're on track to do, I think, $14 billion in R&D this year. You'd think that they'd be able to get a completely new computer out sooner.
Well, I've got it. So the rumor is that Apple's going to move the Mac to its own home built custom ARM based processors, and that we're going to see that starting to happen in 2020, a year and a half from now. You know, maybe 2 years from now.
Right.
Technically, it could be almost 2.5 years from now. Mm-hmm. Sometime in 2020, Apple is supposed to be planning this transition. And
so that puts it like 7 years, 7.5 years out from when we really started to see this lack of Macs.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Here's something that's interesting. Like, I'm wondering if the Mac, I hadn't even thought about this, but like, it makes the most sense for Apple to stick ARM processors in the lightest consumer devices. Mm-hmm. I say that, and we don't know how Apple is going to handle the heavy lifting, the difference, like the strength that x86 has over ARM is in certain kinds of processes. Mm-hmm. And the strength that ARM has is other kinds of processes and also less power. And less power means smaller batteries. Less power means a better power draw at the wall. Mm-hmm. Less power is good. Less power, you know, has historically been something that we're really focusing on the mobile market. Apple wants its Macs to also use less power. And it is very conceivable that Apple could do a massive array of multi-core ARM processors to make something that's more powerful than what Intel is doing. And it could be cheaper, too.
Yeah, if Apple could do it cheaper and with lower power consumption and less heat, then that sounds like
then finally we could get the thin MacBook Pro we've all been clamoring for.
I know. I feel like my MacBook Pro is just so bloated.
Like, the MacBook Pro is just great. If only it could be thinner. That's what everybody's saying.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm holding my iPhone up to the edge of my MacBook Pro right now. Mm-hmm. And with a case on the iPhone, it's the same thickness as my computer. All right, that's a really thin computer.
That's a really thin computer, yeah. And the iPhone 10 is really thin too.
And the iPhone 10 is really, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, Apple's got the, anyway. So, the thing is, with this transition timeline that we've been hearing, 2020, like, we've also been sort of told that the new Mac Pro, the replacement for the trash can Mac Pro, is supposed to be coming in 2019. So is Apple going to release that in 2019 again with its own processors in 2020 or maybe 2021? Or is it going to keep the Mac Pro as an Intel-based device?
That's an
interesting that doesn't question. Make a whole lot of sense. It seems like they want the Mac to be on the same processor. I mean, it may take time to transition all the devices, but you would think that they would want them all on the same processors family.
Well, okay. So if we go with your lightest devices hypothesis, maybe what Apple's going to do is release, say, a MacBook Air type computer and a Mac Mini running on ARM. And probably
an iMac.
Yeah. And maybe like a low end iMac. And then we have this lineup where we have some Macs on AMD, on Apple's ARM processors. I almost said AMD. That's funny. And then we have some Macs on Intel processors. And then over the next year or two, we start seeing the rest of the Intel lineup transition to Apple's ARM.
Yeah, that could be the way to do it. But in the meanwhile, go ahead and release a new one. You know, like Apple, when Apple was still called beleaguered, but was not, the company was managing to update its PowerPC Macs while they were working on Intel Macs.
Here's another idea.
But hold on. Okay. Hold on, though.
Okay, continue. Sorry.
Talk about that. Like, Apple had a tiny fraction of the money that it has now. Mm-hmm. A tiny fraction of the money that it has right now. And Apple was able to continue updating its Mac product line with PowerPC processors while it was developing the Intel-based Macs. So why can't Apple do that now?
Here's where my new idea comes in. And this one is totally tin foil hat.
Okay, I like it.
Okay. What if the reason we're not seeing new Macs come out on a steady basis is because Apple is concerned that when they release their ARM-based computers, that they would be a step back from the Intel Macs they would be replacing. Therefore, they're artificially throttling the progress of the Intel-based Macs so that when the ARM computers come out, that it looks like a big leap forward. How's that for tinfoil?
I would call it more likely to be benign neglect.
Still, it doesn't sound awesome.
Then, yeah, it does. I mean, except for the fact that we did just get the latest processors in the Mac Pro line.
Yes, we did.
And I mean, if you're talking about the Mac Mini, that's a long game because that device hasn't been updated in like, is it 5 years now?
It's crazy how long it's been. It's been at least 4 years. It wouldn't surprise me if it was five.
It's just, until the freaking Mac Pro 2. I mean, come on, guys. Just make some new Macs. Make some new Macs, and then maybe you won't have a... What, the 600 divided by 4,300. What is it? You had a 14% decrease year over year in unit sales. Even while average selling price of Macs went up because the percentage increase was 5%. They had a 5% decrease in revenues and a 14% decrease in unit sales. So the average selling price went up, which I'm thinking has something to do with probably with iMac Pro, although I can't back that up with anything. But I mean, it's like nothing else was released during the year. So just make some new Macs. Make some new Macs. Have the people make some new Macs, and then so like if the people are too busy making, hire some more people who can make some Macs. Make the new Macs. Make them. I mean, come on.
Maybe Apple needs to make more money so they can hire more people to make these other
computers. So doing less and less with more and more. I mean, this is as a Mac fan, this is frustrating. And I've got a 2015 iMac 5K. Mm-hmm. And I would like to update it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to buy last year's iMac Pro.
No, I don't blame.
And I'm not going to buy last year's iMac either. The iMac has been longer since it was updated. I'm not buying that.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, I got what I needed when I really needed it, and I held out a little while because
right, which is always our advice, by the way.
Yeah, so I wanted a new processor. That's why I have the 2016 Touch Bar MacBook Pro. And as cool as the Core i9 thing is, especially now that Apple's done their software update, I just can't justify replacing my 2016 MacBook Pro.
No. No, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. And I would also like to, my mobile device is my MacBook Air. It's a 2011 model, which won't support Mojave. Mm-hmm. And I would like to to get a new mobile Mac too, but I don't need a Pro device, and I'm not buying the years old technology that's the current MacBook Air.
I totally get it.
And the MacBook is too small for me. I need I you know what I really want is a 13 inch Air quality device with a Retina display. That's what I really want.
That would be really cool too. I would be very tempted to get one, even though I already have a portable solution because I have my MacBook Pro. I'm kind of bummed that my MacBook Air, it's same vintage as yours, mm-hmm. and it's hit the end of its road because it can't go to Mojave.
It's 7 years old.
But yeah.
Well, I feel its age when I use it. It definitely if it's slow. Just doesn't have enough RAM to handle High Sierra.
It's, yeah, it's.
We got the maximum RAM that was available at the time,
which is 4 gigs.
4 gigs, yeah.
Which at the time was crazy. Oh, that could only do 4 gigs, but it's been a great little machine. It's just kind of sad that.
Yeah, it's been a great machine for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I still like the form factor.
So do I.
So anyway. So I just, so the it's my own desire to update that is adding fuel to my fire about being pissy about Apple not releasing new Macs. Mm-hmm. But you know, we're seeing bottom line effects here too. I mean, a 14% year over year decrease in Mac sales is pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, that's a significant drop.
It's a significant drop. Despite revenues only increasing by 5%, and admittedly, Apple's the Mac is less and less important from a revenue standpoint every year. But I mean, just how much that is because Apple doesn't release new Macs, makes a new Mac, gets people, makes a new Macs.
Yeah, and I know that the Mac isn't going away anytime soon because it's critical for Apple's infrastructure. You can't write for iOS without a Mac.
Yeah, you need the Macs to make the iPhones. You need the Macs to make the advertising campaigns, the marketing materials. Mm-hmm. You need the Macs to do the other things. So I'm not worried about Apple killing the Mac unless they're going to, kill it softly with a benign neglect.
Oh, I thought you were going to say with his song.
Well, yeah, it is. It's kind of a song. It's a song of benign neglect.
Yeah. It's very confusing to me which tells me that Chaffin's razor is coming into play. So there's something we don't know that would make this make sense.
I thought after we had a year period in which MacBook Pros were getting regular updates, it's like, woo. And we said at the time, this is a great start, but Apple needs to show us that it's going to continue.
And we're not getting to see that.
And we're not seeing the follow through. We're not seeing the follow through. And it seemed like the missing information was simply Apple Park. Apple Park would just took up everybody's time and attention, and especially Johnny's. Mm-hmm. And it, but after Apple Park is opened and, and then in 6 months before it was open, all of the Apple design team's work was mostly done. I mean, that's when we're not seeing the follow through. So yeah, I mean, there is probably missing information. Apple isn't crazy. They have to understand they're not selling as many Macs They have to have, you know, noticed that how that one weird trick worked that one time.
And they're okay with this. I mean, I'm thinking if they weren't okay with Mac sales as they are today, that we would have seen new computers along the way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's mystifying.
It is.
It's mystifying. I have another mystifying thing.
Okay.
Try to have a smart ass segue for us.
Oh, okay.
This is also mystifying. Apple is killing the App Store affiliate program.
Mystifying is exactly the right word, because it seems like the affiliate program has been mutually beneficial. And by that, I mean, it gives Apple the App Store discovery that they've been lacking, because all these sites out there, including us, tell people about the cool new apps we find. And
yeah.
And then for all the sites that can use affiliate link back to apps, then they get a little bit of money for sending someone over to buy an app.
Right. And sites in particular, like Touch Arcade
is
an app shopper.
Screwed. Yeah. Those sites are screwed.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all right. So, did you see the image I used?
I loved the image you used.
That's for our dramatic reenactment of Apple deciding this. So, here's what Apple said: with the launch of the new App Store on both iOS and macOS, and their increased methods of app discovery, we will be removing apps from the affiliate program, the iTunes affiliate program. Starting on October 1st, 2018, commissions for iOS and Mac apps and in-app content will be removed from the program. All of the content types, music, movies, books, and TV, remain in the affiliate program. So what we're talking about is Apple has long maintained an affiliate program for the Apple Store, mm-hmm. So buying Macs. And then Apple's had a separate affiliate program, the iTunes affiliate program, for content on the iTunes store. And then once the App Store was announced for apps. And in May of 2017, Apple used to pay 7% for apps and 7% for in-app purchases. And in May of 2017, they reduced the in-app purchase commission from 7% to 2.5%. But maintained the 7% for the App Store for apps. Mm-hmm. And now they're just killing both. And the reasoning being because discovery is going to be so freaking awesome in iOS 12 and macOS Mojave.
Okay. And so the implication then is that it's still no better for the iTunes store since commissions are.
Yeah, I guess. That's fair.
Working there.
Sure. I guess that's the case. But it's, and this money, by the way, this doesn't come out of developers' pockets. This actually comes out of Apple's 30%. Mm-hmm. So developers are not going to make any more money off this. As a matter of fact, some developers are probably going to be hit pretty hard because they've depended upon, everything from sites like ours. And while we use affiliate links, the App Store affiliate revenues have never been a major deal for us. Okay. Right. So I'm not pissy about this because it's hurting us. I'm pissy about that. Just to be clear.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a pretty sucky thing for sites that their primary purpose is to tell people about new apps.
Yeah. My opening line for the little ranty, snarky editorial that I wrote was concerned about its bottom line. Apple found a boost services earnings by no longer thanking publishers for spreading the word about apps in the App Store.
I really did like that line,
Jesse. I mean, it's like Tim Cook is talking about boosting services and they've mainly talked about boosting services revenues, but this will bring a tiny, because the way Apple does it, like an affiliate link doesn't last very long with the iTunes affiliate program. So like if you follow an affiliate link, I think you have a relatively short time to make that purchase for the affiliate sender to actually get any credit.
So it's not like you could click the link, now you're on the App Store, and go make lunch, come back, and then do the purchase.
Well, lunch, yes, but not come back tomorrow, and not additional purchase. I mean, you know, like that. So the way Amazon's affiliate program works, I think it lasts for 36 hours. So actually, I haven't read their updated program in a while, so that may no longer be true. But it used to be 36 hours. I think Apple was 12 hours. And this is ACM. I didn't look that up.
Right, because top men.
Right. And the idea being that as a reward for sending someone to the store, you're going to get a little something for all of the things that they end up buying. And but so the App Store has never been, you know, a big deal. Plus, you know, with free apps, 7% of nothing is nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So as apps have moved to more and more of a, especially with games, free to play, and then you've got to do in-app purchases to actually play, you know, those kinds of things. The cut in 2017 down to 2.5% for in-app purchases was hard, especially on those sites that all they do is improve discovery, right? And now Apple's taking this away, and it's like, I mean, it's going. I know that Apple has no loyalty, right? Apple does not care and has not cared what you did for Apple yesterday, or let alone 2 years ago or 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Apple does not care. And I get that, but this system that has grown up where indie developers in particular look for any kind of exposure they can get from any kind of website like ours, or the app specific store, the sites we were talking about, or, you know, even the Verge and Gizmodo and Engadget and, you know, whatever else, right? Those sites have been filling this huge hole that Apple's crappy discovery on the iTunes Store and the App Store has left. And it bothers me that Apple would take that away, especially when it's making more and more money. And despite my snarky comment about Apple being concerned about its bottom line, it's not really going to add a whole lot to the bottom line. These affiliate revenues are not that big a deal from Apple's standpoint.
All right, I have a question for you. Are you running iOS 12 beta on any devices yet?
Not yet. No.
Okay, so you can't share your perspective on the new App Store.
That's a fair point.
I, however, have been running developer beta since the day it was announced at Developers Conference. So initially on my iPad mini, I have since added in my iPad Pro, and now with developer beta 5, I am seriously considering putting it on my iPhone, which should tell you how stable it is. Because
sure.
I do not like beta stuff on mission critical devices. All right. So I've been playing with the App Store since the new App Store, since it was first available. And I can say it is better. Discoverability is better. I cannot, however, say that it is so good that Apple is justified in using that as a reason to get rid of affiliate links, because I do not feel like discovery has improved on that scale. I really do like some of the things they're doing, like and some of the things when you hear people talk about them, you'll say, oh, well, they're already doing that in the current App Store. But it is better. So now they're doing this thing with the way they highlight apps for each day, but then let you look and see the previous highlights. They also have different category groups that they highlight each day and throughout the week, so that you get to see app categories that you may not have thought about, and then find new apps that way, which is great. But still, the majority of the apps that I check out, even from people that I know are running iOS 12, it's all coming from people that are telling me about stuff. The overall discoverability has not changed.
Yeah, discovery is hard. Apple isn't alone in sucking at it. And, I mean, Amazon's probably the best at discovery, and it still sucks.
Yeah.
It depends on the category. You know, books, quite frankly, you're gonna find it easier to find new books by walking into a bookstore.
Yes.
And you're going to find it easier to discover new music by walking into a record store. Oops, I'm showing my age. Or a CD store. Oops, I'm showing my age.
And into an MP3 store.
Yeah, right. And it's not that. It's just, you know, we're not, we haven't found the magic formula to address this. By we, I mean humanity, the tech companies have not found the magic formula to make discovery as easy online. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not like specifically dinging Apple here. It's just, this process is hard. But then there's also just the principle of the matter. Like there are people who will continue. I don't know if this is control. I don't know if this is Apple wanting to get a half a percent out of its App Store services revenue. I don't know. I mean, because, you know, on balance, that's probably that might even be high. But, I don't know if it's just that Apple is, you know, like hates the fact that Touch Arcade and App Shopper exists. I don't know what. But those sites have been instrumental in small developers. Sites like ours have been instrumental in some people having any kind of exposure for their apps.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And just this slap in the face, this, I think the Touch Arcade people called it the middle finger, it's gross and disgusting considering how well Apple is doing. That's definitely a big part of it for me.
Yeah. It just, the whole thing is just confusing to me. It seems like from the outside, like this arbitrary change that is more about the bottom line than providing customers with a good service.
It feels like a cutting off your nose to spite your face kind of thing too, because, you know, the benefit to the bottom line to me does not make up for probably destroying Touch Arcade and App Shopper. Could be wrong about that, by the way. It's possible that they'll come up with some kind of other revenue stream, but you know, I guess they could start charging developers. Hey, well, I don't know. Can you really show more ads, or is the limit to how many ads you can?
Well, they had really scaled back their ads, so they could ramp them back up again.
Mm.
But still, it's,
yeah, okay. And it, this too also feels like another example of doing less and less with more and more at the same time.
I think we should also address the thing that I've seen crop up in discussions, which is sites like Touch Arcade have brought this on themselves because they were relying on this as their primary revenue stream. And on one hand, okay, sure. But on the other hand, I don't think that's a fair assessment of their business model, because if you're going to be highlighting apps in the way that they have, then that makes the affiliate program just by its nature a very significant part of the income they're going to draw in. So
yeah, And Apple's not Apple's not responsible for those sites. I don't mean it that way. It's just that to me, they provide a great service, and it's a service that, that benefits Apple users and developers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it also benefits them. They've been able to apparently make a living at this. Which and that's great. Great. You know, congratulations. And that's fantastic. But this, it just, you know what else I want?
What do you want?
I want updates to iWork. I want updates to photos. I want I want iTunes not to suck. You know what else? Here's a crazy thing. Mm-hmm. I want more loops for Logic and GarageBand. I want more instruments. I want more features. I want for pages to be updated on a yearly basis.
How about, and I know this is a big stretch. How about give us back the features and pages that were taken out a few years ago?
Oh, that's a crazy idea.
Yeah, you know, back when Pages was a surprisingly useful app, and I know for a lot of people, it's still
it's still a good app,
but it is so limited compared to what it used to do. And I still, to this day, hear people complain about the features that were taken out of iWork that they relied on and seemed like very basic fundamental features.
Yeah. Yeah. How about like instead of taking features away, add some features?
Sure.
You know, do some updates on a yearly basis.
Now, I get Apple's logic behind taking the features away, even if I don't agree with it. And it's because they wanted to have complete feature parity across iOS and macOS.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then make the iOS versions better.
Yeah.
Don't dumb down the Mac versions.
Now, with iOS 11 and iOS 12 coming out and what the processors are capable of, yeah. It's time to start adding more features back into iWork.
Yeah, I don't dumb things down. It's like that. It's such an Adobe thing to do. Like Adobe started dumbing down the Mac versions because of their apps back in the day. I'm going way back here because they couldn't do those things on Windows. So rather than, you know, because they were so keen on pushing Windows, they took features out of the Mac versions so that there would be feature parity between the Windows and the Mac versions. Like, I mean, this Apple doing that for its own platforms is just as idiotic, and it drives me nuts. And they have all of the money. They have all of the money. Hire some more people and then have them write some code. Hire some musicians and have them make some more loops and more instruments. Actually, you know, Apple has done a few more stuff for Logic and GarageBand, but I want to see more. I want to see more from this astoundingly profitable company.
It seems to me, if you want to make sure that you have truly locked your customers in, make it incredibly easy for them to do all the things that they would otherwise do on a different platform.
That's just a crazy idea.
It's an absolutely crazy idea. I'm breaking out my tinfoil hat.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah. It's. Mm-hmm.
You know, so all this said, the Mac to me is still the best computer out there by a long shot.
Yeah.
I like using my Macs. But Apple is increasingly leaving a bad taste in my mouth for the Mac product line in particular. This move here with the App Store affiliate program really, really gets my goat.
Mm-hmm.
It is annoying. I want new Macs. I want, you know, I want software updates. I want new processors in those Macs. It's just, it seems pretty reasonable to me.
Yeah, it seems pretty reasonable. And I'm with you. The Mac is still the best tool for me for the things that I'm doing on a daily basis. And I do love using my iPads for tasks as well. But my daily driver machine is still a Mac, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're getting close to running out of time.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't like being negative. I mean, you know, if something needs to be criticized, I want to criticize it. Mm-hmm. But I don't like bagging on Apple all the time. But in this, the particular topics we were just talking about in the last two segments, they deserve it. It's necessary.
Yeah.
Tough love.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that happy note, and that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add a question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. Or there's also the Facebook link, which I bet Brian's going to toss at you. And hey, thanks for listening.
Sure. That Facebook link would be facebook.com/groups/Context Machine. And our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And our sponsor was LinkedIn Jobs.
That's right. Head over to linkedin.com/ACM to get $50 off your first job posting. LinkedIn.com/ACM. Thanks, LinkedIn Jobs.
Indeed.
And hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.